Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234. Thanks to Salmon Ash for their continued support of not only this show, but of course, of Raider Nation Radio as we roll on, and we'll talk a lot about the Cleveland Browns. Before we get started, just a tough day for me. I lost my best friend of my entire life. Brian Plumer passed away this morning, and it's a very personal thing, but I wanted to mention him because he was a lifelong member of Raider Nation. And when I was growing up as a kid, as a Charger fan, you can imagine how much crap he gave me. he was like a brother to me, and lost him way too early at the age of 53 this morning. So I'm not having a great day, but I do know being here to talk with all of you will be great. But I do want to dedicate this show to the memory of my friend Brian Plumer, and most of all, send out my thoughts to his children, Nathan and Sarah, and his wife, Michelle, they're fantastic people. He was my guy. He was there through everything in my life, the good, the bad. And he got most excited when I started Silver and Black Today, when I started the website and then turned it into a podcast and a radio show. I had no bigger fan, no bigger supporter than Brian. And to lose him today is a really tough thing. But going on the air to talk about Raider football, I know I can hear him in my head telling me, you got to go on, man. You got to keep going. You got to talk about the Raiders. They got to win this game Sunday. And so he's a brother. I love him. I'm going to miss him. And I dedicate this show to Brian and his family and wish them the best. And just a note for everybody out there, because times in life when tough things happen, we all have loss. We all have, you know, really difficult things happen in our lives. Doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is, that happens. Is that, you know, you have friends, and most of us have pretty small circles. You know, it's not a social media world in real life. You're not friends with 10,000 people. You're friends with a select few, those people who are with you through the good and the bad. People abandon you. They kind of check off after a while, but your true friends are always there. So the only thing I'd ask you to do today in memory of my friend Brian is if you have a friend you haven't spoke to in a long time, because everybody gets busy, right? We always use that excuse, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. But you never know when they're going to be gone. So do me a favor today. If you have a friend you haven't talked to in a long time, give them a call. You know, even if it's just for a couple minutes, make sure you say hello to them. Make sure you do that. And even more so, look in your heart, see if you have somebody. Maybe you guys aren't talking anymore. You had a disagreement, whatever. Life is too short. Bury the hatchet. Call them today. Let them know how much you love them, because you never know when they're going to be gone. All right, back to Raider football now, and I bring in my co-host, my good friend, Q Myers. Q, it's Friday. It's game week. Raiders heading out to the Browns. And I like the Raiders' chances. We're going to get into it. But we got good news today. Trent Brown is practicing. We're going to talk a little bit about what Coach Gruden said today. But I think with Trent Brown in that lineup, that's going to bolster the Raiders significantly in this game.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, really, before I get going, man, I think your best friend Brian would be very proud of you today, not only for what you just said, but what you're doing, going ahead and trucking on and, you know, continuing to get on the grind with his memory. So he's definitely, you know, he's listening to the show, brother.
Yes.
He's got your back. So I think that's awesome. So we'll be here and celebrate him while we do this show. But, you know, getting back to Trent Brown, absolutely, man. That's a big deal. You know, we've talked about him. We've said that, you know, he's an issue. You know, he's been reckless. I mean, every word you could say, we talked about him, but we've also said that the team is better with him. So it's one of those bitter evils or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know that the guy really is kind of irresponsible, but you know that irresponsible dude makes your team that much better. So yeah, if he get an opportunity to get out there and hold down that right tackle position, man. That just gives the Raiders that much bigger of a chance on Sunday against Cleveland, who has one of the best pass rushers in the league in Myles Garrett on their side.
Well said, partner. And John Gruden spoke with the media. We don't have the sound right now, but he did. They asked him about Trent Brown. He was back out of practice. Do you expect him to play Sunday? And of course, Gruden was a little coy, and I don't mm-hmm. That's the NFL. But he basically said, hey, we got a couple days to get him acclimated to our game plan. He's been out for a while, and he won't make any more statements. That's what Gruden said. So Gruden, right. Of course, he doesn't want them to necessarily know that Trent Brown's going to for sure play. But unless something drastic happens, Q, I expect him to be out there, because that's what's good is, yes, he's got Friday. And, of course, today is kind of a walkthrough day.
Right.
But I can imagine that Trent Brown will be burning a little midnight oil today and before they leave for Cleveland and head out and get all up to speed on that plan. And even a Trent Brown, Q, without a full week of practice is better is better than having no Trent Brown at all.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. And he's one of the rare guys that can go out there with very little practice and still go out there and perform at a high level. And the one thing I'll say about that is the only issue that you have is kind of what you ran into on Sunday against the Buccaneers, when there wasn't really any openings to run for Josh Jacobs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that had to do with timing. So when you don't practice, you don't get that timing down with your running back, your offensive line, when the hole's supposed to open, where you're supposed to hit that hole at, little small things like that. With that being said, again, Trent Brown is still a much better player, and the team is a much better team with him at that right tackle position. So you'll take your chances.
I agree, and I think that this team needs him right now. And I think, despite what you said as you came on about the irresponsibility with the COVID tracking and all that, look, you got to bury that hatchet right now, and you have to just say, hey, listen, Trent, we need you to focus now. We need you this week. This is a big game for them, and I really expect that. We'll talk a little bit about the injury report as well that came out just a little while ago. No surprises there, but we'll go through that with you. Also, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brad Ward from Browns Wire and the All Eyes on Cleveland podcast will join us. We'll talk to him about the Browns. What do we expect? They have some key injuries, which we'll get into as well, that I think favor the Raiders when you look at that. Just anytime a team, you don't want anybody to get hurt, but when you roll into a game and you see two big names, especially on offense, that are not there, and you have a struggling defensive unit, that's good news for you on the field. Before we get started with all that, too, just want to let you guys know and tell you that Q and I, every show, Q and I are working all day. Q does like 18 radio shows and does all my podcasts, you name it. He never stops grinding either. So we need good food in our bodies. We need to be able to fuel ourselves for the day, for the show. We do that with Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars from drjensnutrition.com. This is great, great nutrition for the entire family. Convenient snack or meal replacement any time of the day. Certified gluten-free, all natural ingredients, and most of all, most important, even though that stuff is incredible and you need good food for your body, they taste great. High protein, two sources, plant-based and grass-fed whey. Just great stuff. Make sure you check out drjensnutrition.com. If you use the code SBT10, you get a discount only for our listeners, plus you get free shipping. That's right. No matter where you are, Raider Nation, Dr. Jen will send you out the best protein bars I have ever tasted. If you're in Las Vegas, you can pick them up at all local health food stores, plus Terrible Herbst's convenience stores, which are everywhere throughout the valley. They are like air here. They're just on almost every single corner. So make sure you check out Dr. Jen's nutrition.com, the code SBT10. All right, Q, one of the things that I want to talk about too, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, and we got a little bit of flack from a couple Twitter users who were misconstruing, I think, what we were saying, is the weather.
Shocking.
Right? Yes. Shocking. But the weather, right? So at kickoff time, the people are looking at what the high temperature in Cleveland's going to be tomorrow, which is 52, but that's earlier in the day. When they kick off at 1 o'clock Eastern, okay, which is 10 o'clock here on the West Coast, 12 Central, what's going to happen is the temperature will be right around 41 degrees. You add in a 26-mile-an-hour wind gust throughout the game, and you're talking about a wind chill closer to freezing. If it's not freezing at 32 degrees, it's going to be pretty close. So it is a factor. It's not just a factor for Derek Carr, which we mentioned yesterday. It's a factor for the entire team, especially Q having a wet ball.
Exactly, and that's what I like that the Raiders have been doing is they've been working and practicing, and John Gruden talked about it today, as a matter of fact. They've been trying to practice with throwing that wet ball and catching with that wet ball. And look, they can't simulate the cold in Vegas. They obviously can't simulate the wind right now unless the wind's blowing. But at the same time, they could do everything they can to try to prepare themselves. And so they have done that the past couple days. And that's just what it is. You know, when people get offended, and it's so funny, man, when you talk about an issue that a player may have had, and especially Derek Carr, when you say Derek Carr and, well, he hasn't done very well in the cold, it's almost like it's a radar and people want to flip out. I mean, it's a reality.
Yeah.
It's a fact. It's just like hadn't won in Kansas City. He did that this year. And that's why I specifically said yesterday that I think it's a good opportunity for him to kind of mark that off his checklist.
Right. And I always call it the outrage culture. Everybody's looking to be outraged about something. Yep. And it's like, look, facts are facts. And it doesn't matter what team or what quarterback. If you're a West Coast team, and now, by the way, I know they've only played three games there, but the Raiders are a dome team now, by the way. So when you go east and it's colder, and listen, 50 degrees going down to 41 with wind chill around 32, 33, that's cold for a West Coast team. The Raiders were outside practicing today, okay, in the 76-degree weather here in Las Vegas, which is which is beautiful fall weather here for us, right?
Exactly.
But it's warm. They're out there in short sleeves. They're not in cold weather gear. And as you mentioned, Q, Gruden talked about playing with wet balls. A great strategy. I think you got to do that. But what he also said, to your point, was you can't simulate the wind. You can't simulate the temperature. You just can't. Now, they could have maybe gone indoors and put the air conditioning down to 20 degrees, but then the Bills would have gone crazy. But, you know, that to me is an issue. I'm not saying it's the deciding factor. It is for a lot of bettors, by the way. For those of you guys who are into betting, it's a huge issue. But we're not here talking about lines. We're talking about the game itself and what it takes to win. And in my view, that's one of the opponents the Raiders have to face. Yes, the Browns have to play in the same weather, and they'll have issues too, don't get me wrong, but they're acclimated to it. They practice outdoors right now. It's not too cold where they're not practicing outdoors. So to me, you have to watch that. And when it comes to Derek Carr, even though the statistics that people were calling out to try to say that we were wrong, which was, well, no, that's when it's below freezing. Let me tell you, when it's 30 degrees versus 33 degrees, or it's 28 degrees versus 32 degrees, and the wind's blowing and it's rain and it's in your face, it matters very little.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's kind of like being in Vegas and it's like 111, it's 112. It's still really stinking hot.
It is.
You know?
It is.
It cooled off a little today. It's only 109.
But it's a dry heat, as everybody says. Yes,
exactly.
I agree 100%. And that's the thing is you just it's a factor. That's all we're saying. And by the way,
it wasn't even a dig at Derek Carr. That's what's so funny.
No,
it's just a fact. And so we just brought it to the table.
Right. And not only that, Q, but the one thing that I will say, and I can't speak for the other shows here on the channel, but I'm pretty sure they're in line in the same, which is we are always objective, right? We always talk, when Derek Carr does well, we talk great about him. When Max Crosby does great, we talk about him. If they don't do well, we'll talk about that too. So so we're not here crapping on anybody's day or game. We're not saying Derek Carr is going to do terrible. We're just saying it's a factor. And if you want rah-rah, there's lots of fan media and stuff you can go to and hear just the positives and not hear any possibility of any negative. And that's cool. I don't have any problem. There's great content out for that. But what we're going to give you here is we're going to give you both sides and what we think could be factors in the game. The other factor that can play into these games, of course, is injury. We look at the Raiders injury report out this afternoon. Not really any surprises. Malik Collins was limited in practice again. We don't know if he's going. Bryan Edwards, we know, is not going to play, even though he's listed as questionable. And maybe they'll surprise us and he'll get out there and play. But there's been no indication of that. Rodney Hudson, non-injury related, hasn't practiced all week. Actually, it said did not participate Wednesday, and then it's just a dash for the rest of the days. I don't know what's going on there. Probably just veteran being able to do what he wants to do. Josh Jacobs was limited every day in practice this week. Arden Key did not participate. He's doubtful, which means he will not play. Everyone else is on track. Carl Nassib with that toe limited. Sam Young limited as well. Keyshawn Nixon was back to full practice today, so they will have use of him as well. So, Q, I'm not really overly concerned with any of the injuries on the Raiders side.
No, I'm not either. You mentioned Malik Collins limited in practice. He's been limited on the field.
Oh, you're so
mean. I mean, anytime I see his name, I keep shaking my head because I remember how much I hyped him up and thought, oh, man, this is going to be such a difference maker. And he's been such a disappointment.
Yeah, me too. Guilty as charged. Malik Collins is one of those situations where we bought the hype. And we'll see if he can come out of the slump and see what he can do. And by the way, I think that to me, I know we've been talking about it all week here on the show, Q, is I'm really fascinated and interested to see what John Gruden and Paul Gunther dial up differently, including the lineup and the rotation, this week versus the Browns, because we heard they're making changes. If they come out and we don't see any changes, I think Raider fans might explode.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, because they got to show something. You know, it's all nice and everything for Paul Gunther to come out and say, oh, that's on me. It's nice to hear John Gruden say, hey, that's on me. We're going to fix it. You know, he's got a nice little smile or a little scrawl or whatever you call it, scrawl, whatever he's got on his face. Go fix it, man. Do whatever you're planning on doing. Go do it, because what you've been doing, it's not working.
That's right. By the way, we have a special third host today, and that is you.
Okay.
That is you, the caller on Raider Nation Radio. Give us a call on the hotline, 702-365. Q's like, who? What? You didn't tell me
I know.
This.
I was all excited. I was like, oh, this is cool.
702-365-9200 is the number. You can also hit us up on the Sam and Ash text line at 69186. Now, for the Browns, Q, some key injuries here. Myles Garrett's going to play. So he was limited in practice today. That guy's going to go. We'll talk a little bit more about him later. But, of course, on the offensive side of the ball, we already know Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ, is out for the season with that injury. He will not be there. And they're starting running back Nick Chubb. How big of a loss is that for Cleveland, Q?
I mean, it's a big loss, except for that they got other horses in the stable.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Kareem Hunt is one. Dude, he's an absolute guy. I mean, even when he was in Kansas City, and all Raider fans know him very well, led the league in rushing one year. I mean, the dude could go. So Kareem Hunt's not a major drop-off. And they have other guys, too. But, I mean, they're going to still have a solid rushing attack. The Raiders, one of the biggest keys of the game, in my opinion, is slowing down that rush. Matter of fact, almost stopping it. Make Baker Mayfield drop back and throw the rock all over the yard and give you an opportunity to go and make some plays, because he'll put the ball in harm's way. That's for sure.
Yeah, the Browns tight end Austin Hooper, of course, too, is out with an abdomen injury, as well as guard Wyatt Teller. Some of these guys are rotational guys. And then Jacob Phillips, the linebacker, who also is rotational there, he is out as well. So the Browns are a little banged up like every NFL team.
Right.
But on defense, they're not hurting too bad. And that's not great for the Raiders, because that defense, especially on the front with Myles Garrett there creating all sorts of havoc, is going to be full strength and ready to go for the Raiders when they roll into Cleveland as well. So when we get further along in the show, we're going to give you our predictions. So Q and I will talk about the game, how we think it's going to go down, as well as talk to Brad Ward here at the bottom of the hour from the All Eyes on Cleveland podcast, also from Browns Wire, which is part of the USA Today Network. We'll get to Q-Tip later, as well as Vinny Bonsignor, who is on the road. He is in Cleveland. We'll dial him up on the newsmaker line and get his take on all of that as well. But you guys get on the line. Tell us, what do you think? We asked the question yesterday. What do you think the Raiders need to do? And then secondarily, you could also answer the question, what do you want to see from the Raiders? I know you want to win. Everybody wants to win. I get that. But when it comes to changes defensively, when it comes to the offensive game plan, what does Raider Nation want to see when they dial up the television at 10 a.m. Pacific? So give us a call at 702-365-9200. We're going to pay some bills. When we come back, we will talk. We'll take your calls, and then we'll talk to Brad Ward from Browns Wire and the All Eyes on Cleveland podcast. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Nice.
Back on the Silver and Black today, your boy Q Myers, Scockle Branson with you, Bobby Machado bringing us into some good tunes as always, and Bobby keeping me laughing in the studio, which is huge today, so I appreciate that.
What song was that?
What was that? He's coming. I don't even know that.
That would be Sanctuary by the Jay Giles Band. You're going to hear
right.
A lot of Jay Giles today.
Jay Giles.
Okay. Shout out to Jay Giles, man.
The late, great Jay Giles, by the way.
He did pass.
Oh, right. Yeah. Me and Jay Giles, we went back like the Commodores.
That's a pure Boston band kind of thing. Trust me.
Yes.
Yeah, my time in Boston, man. I spent a lot of time in Boston, man.
Oh,
around
I didn't
the
know
block.
That. Yeah, then you know the Giles Band, obviously.
Yeah, they're my homeboys.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby's like, I ain't buying it, Q. I ain't buying it, brother.
He's nodding in the no, absolutely.
Yeah, Bobby's cooler than that. He knows what's up.
He is. Bobby's the man. He's a pro's pro, and we're glad
I love
to
the sound of his voice, too.
He's great, yeah. No, Bobby is fantastic.
He's a good dude.
We're back. We're talking Raiders football. You can join the conversation on this Friday, 702-365-9200. What do you want to see in the Browns game? And, of course, you want to see better defense. That goes without saying. And we've focused so much on the defense. Even up on our website, silverandblacktoday.com, we have a story today by Phil Robinson III talking about a systematic approach. And I think that's one of the things, too, Q, is we're now in a culture where everybody wants instant gratification and instant fixes to everything. Yep. But Phil kind of laid out the point that, hey, we should have – it's a systematic approach. There's many things that need to be changed.
Agreed, 100%. Honestly, I'll tell you, man, and I know that there's chances you take when you do this. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the Raiders run a lot more man-to-man, press man-to-man coverage.
Yes, in fact.
You know what I mean? Because what I like about zone is that most of the time you have your eyes where you can see what's going on with the quarterback as well. Sometimes you get lost. Sometimes you fixate on the quarterback too much. But what I like about press man coverage, even though you turn your back to the quarterback, if you do it right and use the right technique, you disrupt the route. And so it might give the pass rush an extra little second to get home because you've thrown the wide receiver off their route, at least at the top of it. You know what I mean? And so I feel like if it goes hand in hand, you give yourself an opportunity.
Yeah. And actually in his piece up on the website, silverandblacktoday.com, Phil mentions that he talks about the fact that you need to create takeaways, right?
Yep.
You have to create takeaways. And to be able to do that, why not play a little more man-to-man and mm-hmm. and use – I mean, you got dogs back there in that backfield. Use them. Let them play and let them free. Free the defensive backfield. Let them play some more of that coverage. Okay, we're going to switch gears for a moment. We're going to scout the Cleveland Browns and find out more about them. And joining us on the Newsmaker line is Brad Ward from the All Eyes on Cleveland podcast, also Browns Wire as well. Brad, welcome to Raider Nation Radio here on Silver and Black today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, Scott. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. So, Brad, let's dive in on this Browns team because, you know, Raider fans like to use the, they haven't beaten anybody because of the Browns schedule thus far and who they have come out on top against. But when you look at this Browns team overall, what's your assessment of where they're at, their strengths, and their weaknesses?
Definitely the strengths are certainly running the ball. Obviously, they've relied heavily on the run game. That would be their first and foremost, their offensive line. And in their offense in general, Myles Garrett is their strength on defense, and that's about it on defense. The defense can certainly be had at times. You know, you mentioned kind of where they are with teams that they've played. I would say that, you know, you saw the big scores by Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That's like the next step that you would like to see this team take, but they are beating teams that they should beat, which is new for the Browns here over the past 20 years. So that's a step in the right direction. I think that, you know, they put themselves in a good position at 5-2, and I think this matchup with the Raiders looks to be like a really good one, probably one of the better ones of the week, and I think it'll be a really exciting game.
What has been one of the biggest Achilles heels, you would say, for the Browns defensively?
Well, it's certainly in the secondary, right? On the back end, they've struggled big time. You know, Greedy Williams hasn't played a down this season after being their second-round pick 2 years ago. He missed multiple games last year. So you're looking at, you know, Denzel Ward is a good corner on one side. The Browns play a ton of zone. Joe Woods is the new defensive coordinator, came over from San Francisco. So they're playing a lot of that Seattle cover three and a lot of that cover four mixed in there as well. So it's a lot of zone, and quarterbacks have had their way, certainly moving the ball up and down the field on the Browns. They've relied heavily on the takeaway. What they want to do on defense is, you know, make you work the ball down the field, go on 10, 12 play drives and hope you make a mistake, right? That's kind of their bend but don't break philosophy. It has worked at times, and at times it has certainly not worked. As you saw, the Bengals not even punt once in the second half last week and score on every possession.
Brad Ward from Browns Wire and the All Eyes on Cleveland podcast talking about the Browns and the Raiders with us today here on Raider Nation Radio. And Brad, you know, Baker Mayfield, okay, a lot of folks, for whatever reason, maybe it's personality, maybe it's what he was like when he came out of college, he seems to be polarizing throughout the league. Amongst the Cleveland fan base, what is the kind of mood right now about Baker? Because you see him do so much amazing things, I mean, like what he did against Pittsburgh with some of those drives, and then you see him struggle at times. Where is Baker Mayfield, and sort of what does the fan base there in Cleveland think of the quarterback?
Yeah, it's all over the place, Scott. I mean, it really is. So, like, there's a group that are Baker believers, definitely, and there are certainly many that are ready to run him out of town. And a lot of that comes from, you know, you saw 2018, he breaks the rookie, you know, touchdown record. Since the beginning of 2019, he's been very uneven. Even through this year until this week, last week against the Bengals was probably his best game since 2018. He starts out 0 for 5 and then completes, you know, 23 straight passes after Odell Beckham Jr. goes out with an injury, which has caused all sorts of questions, right? So, and there's a lot of layers to that, and I think there's some truth to it and some not. But Mayfield has been really uneven. I mean, he certainly makes big plays at times, but his ball placement, what he was known for in college, has been poor. I think his footwork has been all over the place. He's had a lot of trouble with what looks teams give him. He's had a hard time reading defenses. Seeing ghosts at times, not trusting his eyes, all those cliches, you can bring him up for Baker. He's had a tough time, certainly for the last year and a half, and then kind of had this wow moment last week when Odell went out, which certainly brings a lot of questions to light about, you know, their not relationship, but connection, certainly.
Well, let's go ahead and expand on that, because I've heard a lot of that conversation, and I'll tell you right now, straight up, I don't think any quarterback is better without a big talent like Odell Beckham Jr. out there to throw the rock to. But what are your thoughts when you hear those conversations? Is Baker Mayfield a better quarterback without OBJ?
Yeah, I think that you can say, like what you say is true, right? Nobody, no team is better without Odell Beckham Jr. on the field, right? He does so many good things for you. He's a great blocker. He runs perfect routes. He's an incredible athlete. He changes the entire way a defense plays you. I mean, you look at the Browns' run game, a lot of that is because that's certain ways that teams have to play the Browns. Because just because Odell's on the field, didn't even have to make a catch, but he changes the way they play you. So certainly you're a better team and a better quarterback, you would think, with him on the field. But I think it's an oversimplification of the entire thing. There's a lot of layers to this. So, like, even with Baker Mayfield, you look at him, right, and Odell is just that, like, suck-the-air-out-of-the-room superstar personality, right? Like, so if he doesn't get the ball for two series, is Baker thinking about it? I know I'm thinking about it at home. I can't believe that he's not, right? This is a guy that you want to make happy, a guy that you want to get involved in the offense. I mean, Stefanski's trying to get him touches early in the game. Get him involved early in the game. It's a constant worry of, is he getting targets? Is he getting touches? Are we making him happy? that sort of thing. And I think it certainly weighs on the quarterback. I can't see how it wouldn't. It's a natural thing. So in Baker, if you go back even to like Oklahoma, he plays more of that point guard. Like he wants to spread it around, right? And when he feels like he has to force the ball somewhere, I think like taking some of that pressure off of him certainly could make him a better quarterback. Now, that's not saying the same thing, right? Like, that's a deeper level of looking at it than, hey, you're a better team with Odell Beckham Jr., which is an obvious statement. But I think that it goes a lot deeper than that.
Brad Ward, All Eyes on Cleveland, and Browns Wire joins us here on the Newsmaker Line on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Brad, you know, this week I watched the press conference with pass game coordinator, wide receivers coach Chad O'Shea talking about the loss of OBJ. And of course, the Browns still have Jarvis Landry, who's their leading receiver. He's got 365 yards, 29 receptions on the season thus far. But they're going to have to go to much more of, I think, a wide receiver core by committee. What do you see them doing against the Raiders? Who's going to step up, and who might they look at more than they have with OBJ gone?
So Rashard Higgins is a guy that has been in and out of favor with the Browns, but has always had a really good connection with Baker Mayfield. Before OBJ was ever in Cleveland, he was Baker Mayfield's go-to guy kind of back in 2018. He fell out of favor with Freddie Kitchens last year, and then actually this year had a couple, didn't even dress. He's on the active roster, but didn't dress for the first couple games of the season, but has worked his way into the rotation and then had an absolutely huge game the past 2 weeks. So he's kind of stepped up, and you would expect him to step up into that role as that's a guy that Baker really favors to target and has a good chemistry with. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a guy that is a rookie, has all the skills, the speed, the athleticism, and everything, but he's kind of raw. But he's going to get forced into action, surely. They're getting a Kadarrell Hodge, wide receiver, back from injury. He was more of a special teams ace that had kind of showed in camp that he had worked a lot on being a receiver. And they like him a lot because he run blocks really well and does all the right things. So he'll get in there. And like you said, it'll be a lot of Higgins and a lot of Landry. Sprinkled in with some Jones and everything else. But I think what you'll see mainly, though, is a shift here towards what Stefanski really wanted to do all along, is that he is a big 12 personnel, 21 personnel guy. You're going to see a lot of the shift towards the tight ends, I think. You're going to see the rookie Harrison Bryant, who's been excellent, David Njoku, utilized more, and Austin Hooper's out with an appendectomy this week, but those guys, they want to use more and haven't been able to quite as much. I think you'll see a shift towards that, those kind of formations and a usage of them more in the offense than we've seen before.
I got to ask you about former Raider Carl Joseph. He was a fan favorite while he was a member of the Raiders, number 14 overall pick a few seasons ago. Obviously, the Browns bring him in on a one-year deal. What have you seen from Cujo so far this year? And what should Raider fans be on the lookout for when you know number 42 is back there in that back end?
Cujo, I love that. That's awesome. I am a huge Carl Joseph fan. Honestly, I've loved him since he got here. He's excellent, in my opinion. All over the place, probably the biggest hit of the season on a guy on the sidelines a couple weeks ago. But dinged up right now. So he's coming back, and they're working him back in from injury. So he only played a few snaps last week. I don't know really how much you'll see him on Sunday, to be honest. I think that he'll get on the field, maybe in some dime looks, but I think right now they're going to kind of roll with Ronnie Harrison at the strong safety position until Carl's all the way healthy.
Brad Ward, Browns Wire, All Eyes on Cleveland podcast is our guest. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns. And just to go back to offense for a minute, Brad, one of the things that the Raiders have obviously been struggling on defense. The Browns have had trouble getting the running game going recently, but they have a good running game. They have the scheme to run the ball effectively. Of course, now with the injury to Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, I assume, is going to get the majority of the carries. But then who behind behind him? Dontrell Hilliard is there. I know De'Ernest Johnson is there. What kind of rotation do you expect Sunday with the running back core?
Yeah, pretty much just Kareem Hunt, who is also dinged, and they've been trying to limit his carries. So he hasn't really been the bell cow that you would expect him to be without Chubb. They worked in De'Ernest Johnson, who has been a pleasant surprise. I mean, this is a guy that they pulled off a fishing boat like a couple years ago. He did well, in that other league that failed. And then now he is has found a spot here with the Browns, but has had some absolutely huge runs, a big run against the Indianapolis Colts to seal the game. And not a guy that Stefanski is afraid to go to. To give Hunt a blow. So I think it's those two mainly. And then Hilliard maybe on a third down here or there. But it's mainly just Hunt and De'Ernest Johnson, who's been very good, actually.
Yeah, and if we look at that Browns defense too, we talked about up front. Of course, Myles Garrett's easy to talk to. He's just a phenomenal talent. I know he's been dinged up, but he's ready to go for Sunday. The Browns have had some issues at linebacker, correct? And I know they picked up Elijah Lee off waivers or off the practice squad today or in the last few days, excuse me. And yeah. So how does that – is that linebacking core a concern still for the Browns? Is that the weakness in that defense?
It certainly is. Whether it's more of a weak, it's kind of a battle of which is weaker. I mean, really, after that front four, and they have a good front four, and with Sheldon Richardson and obviously Ogunjobi and Myles Garrett and up there. But after that, if you look at the linebacking core, and even into the secondary, with the exception of Denzel Ward, maybe in the secondary. It's been a real struggle. So the linebacking core definitely is a weakness, definitely at safety they've had a tough time with Anderson Dejo has really struggled back there. And then just in general, teams have been able to kind of carve up the Browns' defense in the pass game. I expect that John Gruden will have a very precise attack, ball control attack through the pass game against the Browns. I would expect that they would be able to throw the ball a lot against them. They guys have a number of weapons in the pass game. I think that they'll find plenty of success by throwing the ball in the short, intermediate, and even the deep ball at times. I would run Ruggs right at Sendejo. There's no way he can run with him on the field. They should be able to have success in the pass game, and it has been. Yeah, linebackers struggled for sure. The Raiders have a good offensive line. I mean, if they can negate Myles Garrett, it really should be – I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders had their way with the Browns defense, certainly.
Well, you look at Myles Garrett, and before we let you go, Brad, just to touch on him, six straight games with at least one sack. That's a Browns record, the longest active streak in the league. Three multi-sack games. He's got 39.5 through, which is fourth most through 44 games in a career. Nine sacks in seven games. Clearly, I mean, the guy, no one's ever questioned his ability on the field at all, but what is it about him, since you watch him all the time, what is it about him that makes him so special?
It's his get off and his wide array of moves. I mean, there are a lot of times, like with these strip sacks, right? It's like you see guys sometimes just kind of fall into sacks in the NFL all the time, right? Like quarterback scrambles around and just runs into a guy that got loose, and that's how you get a number of sacks just by being in the backfield. He just smokes people off the line of scrimmage where there's no chance. The quarterback has no chance of seeing him coming. And it's just it's an easy strip sack, right? Just pull his arms back and take him down. His get off is incredible. His bend is incredible. He's a specimen, certainly, and he's a game wrecker. I mean, he'll dominate a game if you're not careful. But if you take care of him and don't let him make those plays, the Browns defense will be neutralized, certainly, because they depend a lot on that, right? They depend a ton on him being able to get pressures and cause problems in the backfield. I mean, not even it's not even the sack so much. It's just that he creates so many pressures in so many, you know, plays. He's always back there that it disrupts an entire team's offense. And really, that's kind of the Browns' line of defense right now. It's kind of like, hey, let's cover long enough till Miles can do something. It almost feels that way at times.
That's awesome. This has been Brad Ward. You can follow him on Twitter at Ward on Sports. You can also read if you want to learn more about the Browns Wire, and also his great podcast, All Eyes on Cleveland, which you can find connected. Also, two-time cancer survivor. I'm a cancer survivor too, Brad.
Nice.
Always good to talk to somebody who's gone through what I've gone through. So good job, man. And we'll talk to you soon. We appreciate all the time today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's my pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much, Scott.
All right, Brad. Take care. Brad Ward from All Eyes on Cleveland. And Q, you know, some good information there, but I think it comes down to, you know, if that Raider defense, yeah, you got to stop Myles Garrett, which is going to be tough. But if the Raiders defense can find it in the gut there, if they can find it and disrupt Baker Mayfield, then the Raiders can have a good day.
Yeah, they can. And that was one of the points I made earlier this week, is about just have a little bit of pride about yourself. You know, you went out there against Tampa Bay and you didn't do very good. You got embarrassed, you know, and a lot of the play that the defense did, we came away talking about all week long and pointing the finger at the defense really is struggling. The defense really needs to get fixed. John Gruden's in the media talking about, we're going to go fix it. We're going to get back in the lab. You know, we're going to do this. We've been up in the meeting room since 2 a.m. working on it. I mean, there is specifically talking about your unit. Have a little bit of pride about yourself and go out there and do some things. And so that's what I'm expecting. I really am expecting them to, you know, feel like they're kind of backed into the corner. And when you're backed into the corner, if you're a real dog, you're going to fight your way out.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're not a dog, you're going to fold.
You're going to whimper and turn over.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
No, I like that. All right. Thanks again to Brad Ward talking about the Browns. What do you guys think? What's going to happen with the game on Sunday? What do you think the Raiders need to do? And what do you want to see from that defense that Q just talked about? Give us a call. 702-365-9200 is the number. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll roll on with your calls and conversation here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
It's Friday, Raider Nation, and you're back on Silver and Black Today. Your guides on the journey, Scott Colbranson, your boy Q Myers, with you for the rest of this hour and next hour before Vinny Bonsignor from In the Huddle along with Lincoln Kennedy. They'll take you home tonight from 4 to 6. You want to listen to that. Vinny will also be our guest towards the end of the show as he calls in live from Cleveland. And you remember flashback, Q, week 4 of 2018 when the Browns and the Raiders played. You remember that game?
Yes, I do remember that game. That was played in Oakland.
It was played in Oakland, and it was one of the games where the officiating, quote-unquote, actually helped the Raiders.
Yeah, it did.
Versus
in a major
them.
Way. They blew that game.
They blew that game. The Raiders were down 42-34 late in the game. Nick Chubb gets a 41-yard touchdown. Then it's 3rd and 2 the next time. The Raiders can't do anything with the ball after an incompletion to Amari Cooper on 4th down. And 3rd and 2, under 2 minutes to play, Carlos Hyde runs up the middle, which looks like a 2-yard gain for a 1st down. They do a booth review, and they say, no, he didn't get it. The Raiders go on to win in overtime.
Yep. Remember that one. There was a couple moments, couple controversial moments, if you're a Browns fan in that game.
Yes, which is crazy because that doesn't usually happen around the Raiders.
No,
it's usually
Derek Carr
the opposite way.
Had what looked like a fumble.
Yeah.
Looked like Myles Garrett caused a fumble, and he took it back to the house, and they said it was an incomplete pass,
right?
A.K.A. almost a tuck rule.
Yes,
there's a lot of things that happened in that game, kind of squirrely.
It was an interesting game to say the least. Okay, we're going out on the phone lines. Our good buddy down in Los Angeles, Gangster Raider, on a Friday, he's going to drop some knowledge and tell us who wins the game and what's the score, my man.
Well, we win the game 42-21, but that's only if we get a pass rush. If we get a pass rush and if we score at least 20 points in the first half, We win the game 42-21. And also, this would be the beginning of a streak, because I think this would start at least a 3 to 4 game win streak for us. But we need to have a actual pass rush. I don't want to see Malik Collins on the field at all. You know what I mean? And also, we need to go deep with Waller. Waller needs to be the star of the game, along with the 1A star being Jacobs. Excuse me. Jacobs and Waller need to be the stars of the game, and Ruggs need to, even if he don't get the passes, we need to go downfield 3 or 4 times to Ruggs, because we might get a pass interference if we don't catch it, and then it opens up, you know, the defense will have to be wary of it, and it'll open up the inside for Waller and Jacobs. And if those things happen, especially the pass rush, if Fraud Marinelli can get the line to do half of what Buckner had him doing, we win this game, go on at least a 3-4 game winning streak.
So,
what you think, Scott? And
So Gangster Raider, let me ask you this. So you say 42-21 if they get a pass rush. I get you on the pass rush. They got to have something. And we don't talk about betting on the show per se, but the total is about 51 points that the Vegas books have it because of the weather. You don't think weather will be a factor? You think the Raiders will still be able to put up 40 points?
Yeah, because we should use the run and a lot of screen passes just go deep a few times to open up the field. But if we use the run and screen passes and Waller like we're supposed to, and if we score 20 points in the first half, then all we have to do is score 22 in the second half, 21 or 22 in the second half, and that should be easy if we get a pass rush, because if the pass rush comes, we should get a turnover or two from Baker Mayfield, because he's short. If the pass rush just bats a couple of balls or even do a couple of strip sacks, we should get 2 or 3 turnovers. We could score off of those, and that's what I'm counting on getting us to the 42 points.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Gangster Raider, good call, man. And I agree, Q, with the Jacobs and Waller heavy type of plan. If they can get the run going, which they need to start doing, and you do that, and because of the conditions, if you can utilize Waller or Witten or Moreau, that tight end position in those sets, to me that is a good plan. And you just grind out the ball, try to keep the ball as long as you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game, man. It really is. And I think that the weather is going to be a major factor. And I like how you double down and you ask Gangster Raider about scoring 42 points with the weather conditions, because I think the way that Derek Carr throws the ball, and this is not, I hate that I have to preface this, this is not a dig at Derek Carr, but the way that he just kind of puts it on a spot, and it almost looks effortless and almost like he's lobbing it. And I know he's not, but it's not the most like, it's not a dart. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if it's really windy, that wind might catch that ball and take it a little bit. And then, you know, that may be kind of putting it in harm's way. So I'm interested to see how many times they try to stretch the field with those weather conditions.
Yeah, I think both teams will have turnovers because of the conditions. It's just a matter of who's going to win that battle. Right, you got to have less than the other guy, and at crucial situations, you know, if you're in the red zone, you can't have turnovers, and that's been a problem for the Raiders, not so much this year, but last year definitely. So if they can keep that contained, then
for the Browns too,
yeah, for the Browns too,
Mayfield he'll give you an opportunity, like Gangster Raider said, he will give you an opportunity to create some turnovers.
Yes, Gangster Raider, absolutely right about that. And I think they're going to have their chances, but do they capitalize on them? That is
exactly
the key. We're at the top of the hour, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our game predictions, how we think it's going to go down. How do you think it's going to go down? You got to get off your duff, get on the phone, give us a call, tell us what's going to happen Sunday, 702-365-9200, as the Silver and Black Today rolls on, only on Raider Nation Radio 920.